InternetCases.com Podcast, September 2nd, 2005.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the InternetCases.com Podcast, coming to you in MP3 from Chicago, Illinois, USA. I'm attorney Evan Brown, and I'm the author of the weblog found at InternetCases.com. Thanks for tuning in. I'd like to discuss with you a recent case from the First Circuit Court of Appeals. It's called U.S. versus Councilman. It deals with the issue of whether one violates the Electronic Communications Privacy Act by secretly intercepting another person's email while that message is being held in temporary storage as part of the delivery process. While you'd think that it'd be pretty obvious that intercepting third-party email would be illegal, the district court had said that messages in temporary storage are not electronic communications, as that term is defined in the Act. The First Circuit, however, reversed that holding. Councilman was the vice president of Interlock, which was a company that ran an online listing service for rare and out-of-print books. Interlock's customers could sign up for their own email addresses that ended in interlock.com. One of Interlock's competitors was amazon.com. It sounds like Councilman might have wanted to get an upper hand on his competition because he allegedly instructed his IT staff to configure the mail servers so that he would get a copy of every message that amazon.com sent to Interlock's customers using their special addresses. The servers were set up so that the messages were intercepted during the split second that they temporarily were stored on Interlock's server as part of the store and forward method that's typical of electronic mail systems. They were copied and sent to Councilman before they were actually sent to the Interlock customer's account. Well, Councilman was indicted for conspiracy to violate Section 2511 of the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, and the government accused him of unlawfully intercepting electronic communications. Councilman's defense attorneys convinced the district court to dismiss the indictment, arguing that when the messages were being intercepted, they didn't meet the definition of electronic communication under the ECPA because they were in electronic storage. The government appealed, and a three-judge panel of the First Circuit affirmed the dismissal of the indictment. But then the government asked for a rehearing in the appellate court in front of all seven judges. This is called a rehearing in banc. After the full panel of judges heard the case, they decided that the district court was wrong in concluding that the email messages, when copied and forwarded, were not electronic communications. Councilman's argument was basically this. The ECPA provides definitions for both wire communications and electronic communications. The government had accused him of unlawfully intercepting electronic communications. In the version of the ECPA that was in effect in 1998, which is when he allegedly had the email messages forwarded to him, the definition for wire communications included data that were being electronically stored. On the other hand, the definition for electronic communications did not mention data that were in electronic storage. Councilman argued that Congress knew to include stored data in the definition of wire communications, so it would have also included it in the definition of electronic communications if it had wanted to. Being that there was no mention of stored data there, Councilman reasoned that Congress must have specifically intended that data in storage be excluded from the definition of electronic communications. If Councilman was only accused of copying and forwarding data in storage, he could not, by definition, have intercepted an electronic communication. Well, it was a good argument, but the court didn't buy it. Instead, it concluded that the term electronic communication includes transient electronic storage that is intrinsic to the communication process. To get to that conclusion, the court first looked at the plain text of the statute. It ultimately concluded that there was what it called a continuing ambiguity in the language, so the court turned to the legislative history for guidance. It examined various policies and concerns that were in the minds of legislators when the ECPA was first enacted back in 1986. It explained that Congress wanted to provide broad privacy protection, so it gave a broad definition to the term electronic storage. The court also emphasized that the reason Congress had included electronic storage in the definition of wire communications was to protect the privacy of voicemail, not to exclude email from the definition of electronic communication. That reasoning undercut Councilman's argument that the statute should be read the way he had proposed. So the case was returned to the district court, and the criminal case against Councilman will head toward trial. Well, that concludes this podcast. Thanks for listening. Remember, all that I've said here is merely for your entertainment and information. If you need legal advice, please personally consult with an attorney. For more information on the music you're hearing, be sure to take a look at today's show notes. And if you enjoy listening to the InternetCases.com podcast, I would certainly appreciate your vote at Podcast Alley. You can look in today's show notes and see a link to where you can cast your vote. I will talk to you again in 2 weeks.